Good morning. So good to see y'all. Can we just give the worship team a hand today? I just really appreciate their efforts and all the weeks that they serve us. Thank you guys so much. Hey, let's give another hand also for our AV team, another guys that you just never see what they're doing up there. Thanks. Awesome. So if you received a bulletin this morning, there's a couple of announcements just want to turn your attention to. First is next Sunday, we have one of our fun days in the park, 11:45 at Jefferson Park. There's going to be food and games and things like that, a lot of family fun. So please come out and just have some good time of fellowship with one another. So that's June 9th, and then also another one in July 28th. Families Fellowship is meeting that Saturday on June 8th, and it's just a great time of ministering together as families, receiving comfort, encouragement, and fellowship. And that's meeting on Mercer Island, and so you can contact Jason. And so if you're a family with young kids and need a fellowship to go to, that's a great place for you to go to. All right, sound good? Yes, good? Okay, awesome. All right, let's get into the Word of God this morning. And we are in the second week of our series called Worry Free. And the impetus for this particular sermon series is because I've been feeling really stressed and worried in the past couple of months. And so this message series is as much for me as it is for you. But this past week as well, I've been praying for a lot of you, just praying for you that the worries and the stresses that we go through, that God's peace really would come through. It wouldn't be just something that's a platitude, but we're really experiencing God's peace in our lives in the midst of many changes or stresses or pressures. And that's why it's really important that when we started this series, we looked at Jesus' very specific teaching, where he tells us point blank, do not worry, but then he just doesn't leave us there without any hope. But he goes on to say, we don't need to worry, we don't have to live under worry, but what we need to do is to seek God's kingdom and his righteousness. And all these other things will be added to you as well. And we talked about that, and because one could say, well, am I just exchanging my worries for the worries of the kingdom, the worries of God? But what Jesus was saying is that when you put God's kingdom first, when you decide to be under his rule and reign, that issue of who's in control, that is the very first issue that's addressed. And that's why we get so worried, because we get worried because we're like, my life is out of control. Or whatever I do can't change the situation. And so when we understand that we are under God's kingdom first and seek to act and do justly and love and to act with grace in that kingdom first, that satisfies the question of who is in control. God is in control. And that's why we can have peace. So last week was focused on Jesus and his teaching. And today, I want to take a closer look at Jesus's practice. Okay, so last week was teaching on worry. This week, I want to talk about his practice. So this should be a really practical message. So when you're stuck in worry, there are three things that you should do right now when you're stuck in worry. So number one is to spend time with God. Spend time with God. And if you've done any study of the Gospels of Mark and Luke, you know that both writers, the way that they wrote out their Gospels is that they would intermittently use phrases like, and Jesus prayed, or Jesus went to a lonely place, or Jesus went by himself. This was something that was like every other chapter. Let me just get a couple examples from the book of Mark. So in Luke chapter 4, it says, at daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. In Luke chapter 5, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Luke chapter 6, one of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. Luke chapter 9, Jesus took Peter, John, and James with him and went up to a mountain to pray. Luke 11, one day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. Now, what's interesting is that you have these, like every other chapter, you have these breaks where it says Jesus went to pray, all the way up to Luke chapter 11. And at Luke chapter 11, it's when it says Jesus was praying, and now it says then the disciples came to him to ask Jesus how to pray. It's almost as if Mark is saying, you know, Jesus was setting this model for us. that we should just go and be secluded sometimes and pray. And finally, when the disciples get it, hey, we should learn how to pray just like Jesus prayed. Let's go ask Jesus how to pray. And when they finally do that, then Luke quiets it down. It's like, okay, you guys finally got it. This was the example that we all needed. We need to find those alone places to pray. And so it's only to 10 chapters later that we see the prayer life of Jesus rise up again in Luke 21 as he's approaching the cross. It says, each day, Jesus was teaching at the temple, and evening, he went out to spend the night on a hill called the Mount of Olives. What did he do there? Luke 22. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Jesus' life had a lot of pressures similar to a lot of our lives today. Jesus led this itinerant ministry life, healing people, teaching people, village to village, facing increasing opposition. All of that needed the foundation of spending time with God. Now, some of you might say, well, Jesus was God, right? If Jesus is God, then why does he need to spend so much praying to God? That's a good question. And what you need to understand about prayer is that prayer is not just petition. Prayer is not just asking. Prayer is being with God. There's so many times in your lives where it's not that we need an answer from God. It's just that we need God to listen. We need God to process with us some of the problems that we're going through. So we need to have a conversation and also allowing, of course, God to speak comfort to you. Jesus had an incredible amount to worry about, and so he found his peace in a friendship and a relationship with God. I was talking with a friend that I hadn't seen in a while, and he got married in his mid to latter 40s, okay? So a little bit later than normal. And so I was asking him, so what was your dating process as you were getting to know each other? And he says, well, we met every day, and we spent every day with each other for 3 months. And I said, oh, so you had a date night. You met for a date every day for 3 months. He says, that's pretty good. He said, no. We spent every day together from morning to evening for 3 months. And so during that time, she was in between jobs. He was working from home. I know how it is for all you working at home people, okay? Yeah, he was working from home. So they had this time where they could spend every single day for 8 hours, the whole day, for 3 months so they could get to know each other. And he says, that's one of the ways we knew God was bringing us together. We didn't get sick of each other. We found comfort in each other. That's what Jesus found in God. And that's the relationship that we're invited into as well. God loves spending time with you. Comfort, peace to face the worries of life by spending time with God, who is your best friend. He is your greatest advocate. He is your wisest counsel. He is your heavenly Father. So spend time with God. If you are filled with worries, that's the first thing you need to run to. Spend time with God. Second, number two is to confront and name your worry. You've got to confront and name your worry. Luke says this, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. I think that's such an interesting description, describing a place as lonely. Because places are places, right? Places don't really have emotions, right? But he describes this as a location as lonely. And I think it's just Luke's reflection of Jesus' heart. Jesus went to places where he could be alone, because he felt lonely. And so I think that should be a great solace for a lot of us if you've ever felt lonely. You feel like everyone has all these friends, everyone's got it together, everyone feels like they have, you know, just a bunch of community around them. So many people experience loneliness. Jesus experienced loneliness. And one of the bravest things that I think all people need to go through actually is how to be alone. One of the things I always tell singles is this. If you want to be good at being married, you need to be good at being single. If you want to be good at living with life with a person one-on-one, right, you need to be good at living life alone. Why? It's really simple. Mental toughness. Mental toughness. And the reason is because we will all go through seasons of life where we have doubts, deep doubts about ourselves. We're going to all go through moments of life where we feel really insecure. We're all going to go through moments of life where you feel the pressure to conform to some societal norm that is not you. And some of these things that we're burdened with, even if you're married, there's some burdens that you will carry that your spouse cannot, you just know. You might be able to share with your spouse. You might be able to share with the counselor. You might be able to share with the pastor. But you all know there are some burdens in life that only you can carry alone. And you need to learn how to carry that with yourself, within yourself, and with God. And so even Jesus, there were moments where he even felt so alone. Jesus, when he was on the cross, and we know that from the, he quotes from the psalmist, he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's from a psalm where the psalmist is crying out, he just feels so abandoned by God. You ever been there? Even Jesus has that feeling of being alone. And so what did Jesus do? He went to this place called alone. He went to this place called lonely. He went to God to confront his name and his worry. Jesus went to the place called alone because he felt alone. And so the big question for us in this second piece is, where do you go? Where do you go? Where do you go to confront and name your worry? I think every single person needs to have this space where you go to. And if you don't have this space in your life where you're able to confront and name your worry, no wonder you're filled with such stress. Or no wonder you might feel so defeated. No wonder you might feel so tired. Because you're not going to this place called alone where aloneness can speak, can spread, can process, and then God can speak back into it. Where do you go to confront and name your worry? I know for me that earlier in my pastoral time that Mount Angel Abbey is a Catholic retreat site for Buddhist monks, for Christian, for Catholic monks. That was the place I would go to in Oregon. I would go there. I'd make a trek there, make sure I go there once a year. Then I found some places nearby in Kent and Federal Way. But these are the places where I know, like, man, when I'm filled with worry, there's this place that I go to, this place where it's sparse, it's very alone, so that I could confront and bring my worries to God. Now, here's the thing, okay? When you do that, you build courage. But I know for a lot of people, a lot of us, we don't go to the place called alone when we feel alone. We don't go to the place called worried when we get worried. We go to this place called Netflix, right? We go to this place called Netflix when we feel worried and alone. We go to the place called voodoo to get some juju. We go to this place called YouTube, right? And what we do is we distract ourselves. We numb ourselves out of worry. We interrupt the things out of worry because we're just trying to get our minds off of it. We're trying to distract ourselves with kind of junk thoughts. Now, back in my day, pastors used to have this phrase like junk in and junk out, right? Whatever you read, whatever you put in your head, whatever media you have, junk in, junk out. When you're worried, I want you to know that this is an opportunity. This is the moment, trust me, where God is speaking to you. God's actually wanting to use this moment to make you stronger. God is wanting to use this moment to show that he's God, that he loves you. And what we do is we interrupt that moment with junk thoughts, junk calories. And then it wears off, and then we're stuck again in the same worry. We interrupt ourselves out of the transformation that God wants to build in us. See, we have this rule in our family, all right? And it's probably a rule that you have a lot of your families too. It's simple. Don't interrupt each other, okay? Because we got a family of four, right? And we have three introverts, and we have one extrovert. But when we're like all in the car, we're like all together, we love to talk in our family. And when we talk, just like a lot of families, we talk over each other, okay? And that's okay. As long as we're like on the same subject, you know, we can kind of mix it up and talk over each other. But when we interject the rule, hey, You're not supposed to interrupt each other. We interject that rule. We call the person out if they bring a topic that is completely different from what we're talking about, right? And that's usually Mason, I can tell, you know, because he's not here, so I could pick on him. But, you know, that's usually what happens. Mason will kind of bring in this subject that we weren't even talking about. We're like, hey, don't interrupt each other. Don't interrupt us. Why? Why are interruptions so bad? Well, no one likes interruptions because they're frustrating. They don't allow us to get to the point. Right? When you have a conversation and we're engaged in a good conversation, there's like a conclusion. You want to make your point. You want to make your understanding complete. But then someone keeps interrupting you. See, how can you hear from God if you're never alone with God? How can you name and confront your anxiety if you never go to that safe place to name and confront your anxiety? How can you find the Prince of Peace if you've never stepped into the Kingdom of Peace if we're always interrupting the flow of how God wants to speak to us and to address our worries? One of the things that's cool is I found this amazing feature on my phone, and my kids taught me about it, okay? And so they're always, right? I mean, on your phone. You can take out your phone, too, if you want to, right? Because I think you can probably find this. But, you know, our phones are made to, with all the apps in here, it's like amazing, right? All the things that we could do to make our lives easier, to make our lives go, you know, less stress-free and things like that, right? That's what these phones are made for. So I found this amazing function. So this is an iPhone 6. So this is like an old phone, okay? So probably all the modern phones, if you have like a 7, 8, or 9, or 10, probably work has this feature like better, okay? All right, so it's really cool. So if you have your phone, you could do it with me too, okay? So this will make your life like stress-free, okay? So you do this, you hold it here, and there's this button on the right, and what you do is you hold that down. And when you hold that down, if you just swipe to the right, it's like amazing, okay? Doing this will make your life so stress-free. Just one extra layer that you do not need to worry about, right? Am I right? And, you know, I mean, psychologists, right, they've been telling this for years and years and years that Facebook and Instagram, whatever social media it is, not only are they sources of distraction, but they also add stress to your life. Why? Because, man, you look at it, you're not eating what they're eating. You're not going to where they're going. Your kids aren't doing what their kids are doing. You don't look like what they don't look like. It's constantly you're not, you're not, you're not, you're not. And you never realize how invested the God, your Father, is invested in your life. How much God loves you and is working to transform you and wants you to be you and wants to have a conversation with you. So spend some time with God this week. Remove the distractions. Go to the place called lonely. Go to the place called worry. Don't numb yourself. Go to that place so that you can name and confront your worry. Here's what's so important here, too. A lot of you are worried, and you're worried about this thing called your career, and you're worried this thing called your health, and you're worried about this thing called your kids, and you're worried about this thing called your grades. And guess what? You think that that's your main worry. You think that that's why you're worried. You actually don't know why you're worried. And you're distracted out of that. You think it's just this thing out there that's external. When so much of the reason of why we have anxiety has to do with me and how those things might reflect on me. God wants to speak to that. He wants to redeem that, to take the I out in the middle of our heart and place the cross and the kingdom. We don't even know what we're worried about, and you can only hear God when you take that time to spend time with him in an undistracted place so that God can even help you reveal what is the name of your worry. All right, last practice. Now, we're doing really good on time today. You can thank me later. We can enjoy the weather. Enjoy the weather out there today. Last practice is to ask someone to pray with you. Ask someone to pray with you. In Luke chapter 9, verse 28, it says this, that Jesus took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Now, I think this is something that I take that verse literally. Something in Jesus' face changed, and there was some display of who he was in that moment with his clothes and so forth. But I think that's also a message to us. And hopefully we've all experienced this before. That we go into prayer really depressed. Go into prayer really worried. And yet during the process of speaking with God, spending time with God, just pouring your heart out to God, there's a change in your countenance. There's a change in your face and demeanor. As somehow, because you're connecting with God, seems like all the cares of the world just kind of fade away because you know that there's a Father who loves you and who's there to take care of you. Your countenance changes. A couple years back, I had a pastor friend who was going through a really difficult time in just life and in ministry. And he was having it just seemed like he was going on a downward spiral, having a lot of depressing thoughts. And in our conversations, he would just tell me about the books he was reading. He was reading a book about pastor burnout. And then he was telling me about a movie that he kept on watching over and over again. It was a movie about depression. And so I asked him, are you reading anything positive? Now, again, I know you need to go to those places called alone. And sometimes, reading something depressing while you're depressed, somehow, in that weird mix, it makes us feel better. But at the same time, I just asked him, hey, are you reading anything positive? Are you filling yourself up with anything hopeful? And those questions, it was interesting. It was like a revelation to him. He had this awareness to know that if you can choose to only see darkness in your life, then you can also choose to see the light. And so he asked me to pray with him on a regular basis. And so we did that for a while. And the very first Bible verse that I gave him was one that God had led me kind of years back. It's from Psalm 42. This is my Bible verse that I go to when I'm overcome by worry, when it seems like there is no light at the end of the tunnel, when it seems like the thread that you're holding on to in life is going, you're just going to slip off into the abyss. Psalm 42 says this. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and God. Let me read again. He's talking to himself. He's in a very depressed place. He'll talk about his enemies being around him. He'll talk about just life is not going away. Other people mock him. People look at his life and say, wow, it must really suck to be you. And so there's this refrain that he repeats over and over again in the midst of a life that's really depressing. So he says, why my soul? He's talking to himself, not to the external things. He's talking to himself. Why, my soul, are you so downcast? Why are you depressed? Why are you so disturbed? How come there's no peace within you? He's talking to himself. Put your hope in God. For I will yet praise him. There's one day, it's bad right now. I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. And I would just take that verse and I would just repeat that over and over and over and over in my mind. Because things that are external and I can't change. But Jesus and his Spirit in me and his heart in me, that can change. And sometimes when you change everything in here, your perspective, it seems to change everything on the outside as well. So let me ask you just, when was the last time you memorized a Bible verse? When was the last time you took just one little snippet of the powerful Word of God, one little phrase that could change the entire perspective and demeanor of your heart? And this one little phrase, why so downcast? This one little question gives you the power to speak into the abyss that you're facing. I am not alone. I am a child of God. God is for me. God is with me. When was the last time just took that moment to memorize that verse, turn it over and over in your head, to speak against the darkness. That's what Jesus has come for. One of the many things that he's come for. And so what I kind of learned in that moment is that all of us, speaking with my pastor friend, is that all of us, we need each other to be able to look past the waves to say there is a shore. There is a place of stability on the other side. We need people like that. We need to share each other's burdens and anxieties that we carry. And it's good to know. It's good to know that Jesus, as strong as he was, that he also relied on people. He constantly asked James, Peter, and John, like, come with me. Come pray with me. I've got some burdens, some big burdens that I'm carrying. Would you come and pray with me? That's what Jesus did. And so God wants us to come and to share our burdens and our prayers with him too. And one thing too. It's one thing. You're so blessed in your life. If you've got one or two people in your life that encourage you just by being together, right? Just being in the company of that person, they encourage you, or they're willing to pray for you, things like that. It's one thing to have that, to be blessed to have that. It's another thing to be that person for someone else. We need to learn how to be that person for someone else as well. Because I guarantee you, right now, at work, there's someone who could use your voice. Right now in school, there's someone who could use an encouraging voice. In your neighborhood, in your home, in somewhere, someone in your pew, sitting in your pew right now, could really use you. Now, I don't want to cause any more worry with that. To be a friend in Christ, you don't have to solve all their problems. You don't need to be at their beck and call. You don't even need to offer an intelligent solution. You just need to listen with love and understanding. Because we need one another, church, to bear our burdens. Paul said this, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you fulfill the law of Christ. You know, this really came to just a very visceral way of understanding this particular verse. You know that, we laid to rest my father-in-law, Angel's dad. Maybe it's been about a month ago. And there's some things that you never really, some things about a particular, whether it's a wedding or a funeral, certain traditions that you have, you never really understand their meaning unless you actually participate in them. You know, it's kind of like when you're single. When you're single and you go to all these weddings, you're like, gosh, all these weddings, aren't they like boring? I mean, they're the same thing over and over again. Everyone lights the candle. Isn't that really boring? But trust me, when you get married and you're, you know, doing the unity candle that thousands and thousands of couples have done before you, when you're doing that unity candle, it's like the very first time. You're experiencing it in a whole new way. And so when we were laying our father-in-law to rest, there's one of the kind of traditional rites, things that you do is you have pallbearers, right? You have pallbearers. You have three guys on one side, three guys, you know, carrying the casket. And when we were carrying it, and my thought was, this is heavy. And if we didn't have six guys here, you know, there could be like a really bad accident, you know? But I was thinking, this is heavy. And I was thinking, good thing we have six guys. And we carried and we journeyed along and laid in rest. And it was just this visceral experience of like, this is such a sad time. This is a difficult time. But what do? We help within our family, within our friends, our circles. We carry each other's burdens. And it makes something that is so difficult that you could never stand up under, it makes it actually bearable. And we get through. And we get through together. Paul said, carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you fulfill the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? It's to love one another. To love one another. So, this week, I've got things to worry about. How about you? I've got meetings. I have decisions. I have relationships. I have conversations that bring me anxiety. How about you? So let's not do the same thing that we've done over and over again that never adds an hour to our lives. Let's not dismiss. Let's not numb away. Let's follow Jesus. Let's spend time with God. He's the King of peace, and he will be our peace. Let's confront and name our worries. When we name what's really causing us anxiety, it no longer has power over us. And lastly, let's invite someone to pray with us. And when the time is right, be willing to be that person that prays for another person. Because when we carry each other's burdens, everyone's burdens become lighter. In Christ, as a community, we can be so much more worry-free. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for this time that we've had together this morning. And thank you for your word of teaching. And as we've seen today, it's your example of actually getting to it. And I pray for all of us as a church that this week would be the week where we take a different path, where we run to you, where we say, Father, you are our everything, that you are the one that I need to spend more time with, not time more with my thoughts that get me nowhere, but I want to spend time with you, to the God who comforts and the God who does give counsel, the God who allows me to confront and name my worry, even though sometimes I don't even know what it is, but you give name to it, you give insight to it, you give discernment to it. And you are the God who's given me community, the people around me, so that we can share our burdens together. And Father, we don't want to just get rid of the worries just to be worry-free, just to be less confronted or to have less disturbance in our lives. But Lord, help us to know that you're actually using those very things as moments, as opportunities to shape us and grow us and to demonstrate your love towards us. Because your promise over and over and over again in your word was that you are always with us, that you never leave us, that you never forsake us. And you proved it all the way to the cross and in your resurrection. And in those words, God, we trust. We trust. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, church. Let's all stand. And we're going to go. Sorry about that. We're going to go to the time of communion. So can we have the communion ushers come forward? And I'm going to serve the communion ushers first. And afterwards, you'll be able to come down and make your way down the middle aisle. And again, this space up here is for everyone. And so if you want to take communion up here rather than at your seat, take some time to give your burdens to God. You're so welcome. So welcome to do that. If you want prayer for something, I'll be up here as well. church. When you're ready to receive, you can come forward. Stand, let's sing together.
Right, some of you early comers, you went through my a little bit exercise of closing your eyes and think about something that you're joyful for. Now that everybody's here, why don't we do something a little bit real quick to close your eyes real quick and think about something that you're worried about, something that you need to put at the foot of Christ, something that is just has been killing your joy. Know that when you bring it to the table, when you bring it to him, he knows exactly what to do with it. He knows how to change your heart. He knows how to help you rise above it. And some of us need that today. So think about that. Bring that to Christ.
Smile.